Well, good evening, sports fans. December 1st, 2022. Forks Sports Highway. We were a little hiatus. We took last week off for Thanksgiving and Turkey Day and all that. And Bill was out traveling the land. The legend Bill Deutsch, you were in
Colorado,
and then what, down to the Twin Cities too? Or?
Well, I just ended up having to go to Moorhead for a kids' hockey tournament.
So you got to be around both your daughters.
Right.
Well, that was good, right?
All
them little kids.
And good Thanksgiving.
And your oldest grandchild is a hockey player?
Yeah, girl, yes.
Yeah. And so how old is she? I mean, I
think she's 9 or 10.
Wow.
Because I think it's 10 and under that they play. And we went down to Fargo, but the tournament was in Moorhead, and it was at the Cullen Ice Arenas.
So that after the NHL guy?
Yep.
Matt
Cullen.
Matt Cullen. Was a Moorhead kid, right?
Yeah, well, his dad was coach at Moorhead when he was playing.
Sure. So, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Matt Cullen and like Jason Blake play in Moorhead at the same time? Or
they could have.
Or fairly close in time because they both ended up playing college hockey and then being in the pros. And
well, he had a brother too that played.
Yeah.
And I think they both played at St. Cloud.
Yes, the Cullen brothers.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I know Cullen did get some Stanley Cups with Pittsburgh.
Yes. Yes.
And then he ended up his career with the
Wild.
The Wild, yes.
Yeah, no, he was a pretty solid player. I actually got to see at least one game in St. Paul and when he was playing for them, and they were having a down year, but he was one of the solid players on the team.
Right. He does live in Moorhead.
Oh, yeah, he's
got three kids, so I imagine they're quite the hockey players.
Isn't he the fellow that brought the cup back to the Dairy Queen in Moorhead?
He could have.
I think it was him.
That's kind of the iconic thing in Moorhead is that Dairy Queen.
Yeah, no, I know. And
why would a Dairy Queen be iconic in Moorhead? Is it like the oldest restaurant or something?
It's like
been there forever.
And they tell you forever. There was a sign on the Dairy Queen that says we're going to open March 1st, so people want to go to the Dairy Queen the day that they open, and it's always been a big thing there for some reason.
And certain cities have those institutions that they've grew up around, and that place has been there, and it's kind of isn't it between Main and First?
It's on Main.
Yeah, so it's right. It's right where
probably about 3 or 4 blocks into Moorhead.
Yeah,
from Fargo.
Now, for me, that would have been Mother's Records, but I don't know.
See, we got Keith in the chat saying, what's up? And Paul, we got ready for some sports.
Well, we were talking sports. It's been hockey.
Oh, yeah.
And because we were on hiatus, it's hard to begin. There's so many things going on. We got that football tournament.
Or going soccer, on as we like to call it.
In Qatar. And then
are they going to play the whole tournament there?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. They paid $1 billion for it or close to it.
Well, and that whole thing is supposed to take place in the summertime, but because the temperature is 120 degrees there in the summertime, that's why it's in this time of the year.
Yeah.
And so that country paid a lot of money to be able to postpone it into the winter time.
Yeah, I joke about it being $1 billion. It wasn't $1 billion, but it was like many, many millions of dollars.
Yeah.
To get the rights to it, because that's not cheap.
So was that similar to Saudi Arabia then, or?
That's Middle East, I know. I forget what parts of the Middle East Qatar is.
Some of the same money that would be with this hockey tour or with the
LIV?
The golf.
Well, the LIV is solely Saudi Arabia, but the Qatar is another, just like Saudi Arabia, but not as large as Saudi Arabia, but another hugely, hugely oil-rich country.
Okay, and Qatar, that's the name of the country?
Yeah.
And then what's their big town or city?
Well, where's Dubai?
Dubai? Isn't that Egypt?
No.
No. Or Saudi Arabia?
Dubai might be in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Well, I see, we're such geographical minds here. But that's why we're a sports show.
Should we jump into World Cup? Get that out of the way?
Yeah, I'll put it on you, Dale. Jump into the World Cup. Because we all just saw, okay, obviously, you know, the one stink that came up, right, was apparently, what was it, U.S. advertising or something that put the wrong Iranian flag up?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So before Iran and the US played in this soccer game, Iran was demanding that the US be expelled from the tournament because of this
wrong flag being placed
this,
and all that.
Yeah, this fapu over the flag. And they were comparing it to like Qatar or Iran putting up a US flag with the Betsy Ross one with the 13 stars. I see Paul wants to weigh in on that.
Oh, no, I was actually just going to point out that I saw this and I thought that it was pretty spot on because I was kind of watching the soccer thing going on. And this
football.
Yeah. And this is how to fix soccer.
Okay.
Oh, okay. God. It might be short.
It's like, okay, prepare ourselves. Okay. Go ahead, Paul.
Shrink the field.
Well, that's one thing for sure. Yeah.
Too many players on the field. Limit to three forwards, two defenders, and a goalie. Number three, players should get to come in and out whenever they want. Don't stop the game. Number four, shrink the goal. And number five, ice everywhere.
Ice everywhere. There you go. There's the kicker.
That's how you fix soccer.
Oh, man.
No, you just
make it hockey.
Why not?
Sometimes there isn't a whole lot of scoring in hockey either.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah, but you have commercial breaks. Soccer is almost impossible as a sponsor to have a commercial break because it goes and goes and goes and goes and goes and goes.
Well, somebody
pointed this out, and I didn't realize it, but one of the most frustrating things about soccer is that you spend the majority of the time watching them go backward.
Yeah,
because as soon as somebody gets the ball, they kick it backward to the person behind them, and it's just like it's like that for like 70% of the game. They're constantly just going backward.
Well, hockey's been doing that too now quite a bit. Well, yeah. I think
you're talking a sheet of ice where it's a much smaller surface. Right. These guys are running. You know, you're running 120 yards or whatever it is, and you're going nowhere. You know, then you turn around and run the other way. And I don't know. We played soccer a little bit in Phi Ed when I was in high school. I was stellar too, I'll tell you. but it was like nonsense.
I don't think I've ever played soccer.
Well, one goal. You play for an hour and there's one goal. You know.
I know we were mentioning advertisers a little bit earlier, all the crazy advertising they got going on at the World Cup. We should probably hit up that first ad here before we get into all the crazy Iran stuff going on.
Is it for the World Cup?
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't it be great if we got advertised by the World Cup? No. It's even better, though, our friends at the Southtown Poorhouse.
Well, here we go. Southtown Poorhouse. Every day is a great day at Southtown Poorhouse. Stop in for your favorite drinks and, of course, happy hour. Buy one app and get one half off, and every day from 6 to 8 p.m. And you can't forget about $3 burgers on Tuesdays and the awesome steak specials on Thursdays from 5 to 8. Make sure to check out SouthtownPoorhouseGF.com to find out when your favorite band is playing live. That's SouthtownPoorhouseGF.com. Every day is a great day at Southtown Poorhouse, 2015 Library Circle next to Grand Cities Mall, right across the parking lot from us. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m., looking to hire two. And the bands this weekend are...
I think Friday is some shitty cover band, I believe.
Yeah, I heard that one.
And I don't think they got anyone playing this Saturday, but I saw some shitty cover band there about a month ago. They put on a great show. They get the crowd going good.
Well, they're always there, but so I get a note that says Friday night is some shitty cover band,
yep.
And then there's nothing for Saturday night, but there's going to be a band there.
usually they always have bands there on Saturdays. I checked their website yesterday. They didn't have anyone listed there officially for Saturday unless they find like a local act at the last minute or something. But it's they didn't have anyone listed officially when I checked yesterday. But I know the upcoming weekends, they got, I think, Friday and Saturday book here.
Well, it looks like a lot of the familiar ones as we go forward. Maybe not next necessarily next weekend, but as we get around Christmas time, it looks like some of the old standbys that they have over there. But they always have a pretty good crowd and cold beer.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah,
can't complain about that.
There you go, Bill.
Yeah, that Iran stuff with the World Cup, that's just, well, I know you mentioned the stuff with the wrong flag being placed and all that too. Yeah. But then there's also the whole other aspect where they got some of the they want, the Iran government wants all the players to sing the national anthem when it's played, and some of the players during their first match didn't sing the national anthem, so allegedly, that's a big word, that the Iran government or regime, they were going to players' houses and supposedly threatening players that they'll torture their families if they don't sing the national anthem before the game.
Yes, and there was some aspect, because Iran, much like what's going on in China right now, has a lot of protests mm-hmm. of their governments going on. And in Iran, and that was one of the things I was like, so the Iranian soccer team lost to the U.S.
Yeah, that was a big
and,
deal.
And
yeah.
So I expect that they must have all been assassinated or executed after the match, because that's what they do to theirs. They torture those guys, whether it's Iran, Iraq, or those countries, because to lose to the infidels.
Well, the United States was very, like, underranked going into this tournament, like, kind of barely got in qualified, and no one was expecting him to make the round of 16. And, you know, they tied Wales and England in the first matchups, and they had to pretty much beat Iran to make it to the round of 16. I know.
Iran, how many people could be in Iran?
That's a good question. I know, well,
I mean, you got to look at it that America has all kinds of people to choose from.
True, true. And, well, I guess USA has always been, not always, but for the better part of, you know, the past century or so, when it goes to the World Cup and soccer teams, USA is always kind of lower ranked for the men's team.
Well, yeah, because you see how popular the sport mm-hmm. is in this country.
Yeah.
They have been pushing soccer at us since the early 70s, late 60s, Bill. You remember the Minnesota Kicks?
Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
I remember
that. Was that an old MLS team, or?
Well, that's they have been throwing that at us for a long time, and soccer is as popular as it's ever been in the United States, but it will never supplant NFL, college football, basketball, baseball. I would say WNBA is even more popular than soccer in this country.
You know, I would agree with you if it wasn't for the last like dozen years or so with ESPN when Skipper took over. He made a strong push for soccer being a big focus on there, at least when it comes to World Cup time. But I want to...
Well, on the world stage, for sure. It's because the whole rest of the world, mm-hmm. that's their sport.
Yeah. But even just like for general sports coverage too, I know he tries to get it in the mix a little bit more. But did you see the... Bill, you said you caught the Iran-USA game?
I saw parts some of that one.
I saw the highlights. How about, it was only one goal, but what a goal, though. It was Christian Pulisic.
That's the one he got hurt on, right?
Yeah, he pretty much had to sacrifice his body. He kicked the ball, but he's going full force at the goalie, and after he kicked it, and right after it scored, like the momentum of him carried him into the goalkeeper, and I think I got his injury here.
It was something in his stomach.
Yeah, he got removed from the game to get checked out at the hospital, and he was diagnosed with a pelvic contusion, and his status is day-to-day. So hopefully he should be back for this.
And a pelvic contusion.
And there's no penalty for him hitting the goalie on that?
Well, I think it looked like it was his momentum carrying him in the goal. It looked, at least on my eyes, from what I saw, it looked unintentional. I don't know. What did you think?
Well, I just don't understand how... He kicked the ball mm-hmm. and he definitely scored it, but
then, like, right,
if you're gonna hit somebody, that's,
I know, at least
that would be like goalie interference, I think, in a hockey game.
Well, what it looked like to
at
me.
Least in my eyes, it looked like it was unintentional, and it looked like it happened after the ball crossed the goal barrier, and like it just looked like both players' momentum were carrying each player into each other. I don't know the fine, intricate rules of soccer, so I don't know if that is a go or not. But I imagine they must have reviewed it and examined it, because USA did score a second time in that game, but that they reviewed that goal, and it got reversed because one of the players was offsides.
Well, I got some names of the countries and stuff that have made it through to the top 16. Now, yeah. They started with 32, so 16 of them are eliminated right now. We've got U.S. is going to play Netherlands, and that's going to be on Saturday morning at, it says 10 o'clock. Okay, that's Eastern time, so yep. It would be 9 o'clock our time. And then you got Argentina, and that's who Messi plays for, right? Messi's kind of supposed to be about the best
the biggest player right now, yeah,
in the world.
So is he not the guy that's like scored 3 goals already in this tournament?
I think he has scored. I'm not exactly sure.
Go ahead, keep going.
So we got Argentina is going to play Australia, and I did watch today Japan. I mean, these Japanese guys, they all had colored hair.
Oh, like different colored hair each player? Yeah. Oh, wow.
I mean, some of them were blonde and stuff. I mean, when you think of Japanese people, you think pretty dark hair.
I guess it must be all younger players, new generation, I guess, trying to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, no, they were playing today, and they did make it, and they're playing Croatia. Then you got France and Poland and England and Senegal. Now, Senegal's got to be a tiny little country, doesn't it? That's Africa.
Yeah.
I don't know how they can compete with some of these teams.
And they must have snuck in.
Well, and then Spain and Morocco would be the last one.
And both of those would have really good teams. But what even with these smaller countries, though, I have to wonder what the dollar amount that they stick into that national team is.
Well, it sounds like the U.S. is going to make a lot of money if they advance.
Huh.
Each player gets X amount of dollars or something, and the further they go, the more they get. But the one strange thing to me that when I've kind of watched soccer, who's a team that you think of that's really good at soccer?
First team that comes to mind. I mean, I'm not a soccer expert, but at least going over the years, I would probably say Spain or Mexico.
Mexico.
Yeah.
Well, Argentina is always.
And England, you always hear about Manchester United.
But the other one, too, is Germany.
Yeah, and they're out. Aren't they out now?
Yeah, they are. They did not make the round of 16.
No, Germany normally is one of the powers because that's like their main sport. Although they sure showed up for that football game.
Oh, when Brady was there?
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
But
how many of those were Americans that were there?
On tour, yeah.
That sounds like a biased comment, Bill. You mean Germans didn't want to watch American football? No, I agree. It was more likely that, just like in London with the Vikings and Saints fans, that stadium was more full of people from back here than...
Right, but... Could well, and also just people that live there that are on bases and so forth. That's where I think a lot of the people come from.
Yeah. No, I always wonder about, because so the NFL, the big dream in the NFL is to expand
globally.
Yeah. But the game doesn't catch on anymore. It's expanding, but not enough to where it would make sense to have a team.
How would you guys rate their current plan, where it seems like they got almost a game a week either in England or in Mexico now? They got first game in Mexico in several years, a couple weeks ago.
They've already had like 4 overseas games or something right. like that.
Usually it's 1.
2 in England.
Yeah. It used to be one. You were lucky to get one in a season.
But it seems like they got a different game in a different European country almost every week, or Mexico.
Well, Mexico looked like there was a whole lot of people at that game, and I don't think they were necessarily the fans of those teams, but... You know, at some point, it's like, what's going on in town?
Well, I don't know. Do you think they could ever put a team in Hawaii?
No.
I kind of like the aspect, you know, if they do end up, for most weeks, it seems these last few years, they almost got one different game a week going on in Europe. And then you have, you know, with the time zone difference here, you have a game starting at 8:30 a.m. If you want to really go all day football long, go wake up early, catch that first random international game, and then get your noon game in your afternoon.
So just for a juxtapose, okay? What do you recall was the biggest play of that game in Germany?
Was that Bucks and...
It was the fake pass to Tom Brady where Tom Brady fell down and tripped the defender and got a penalty call. Mm-hmm. That played over and over and over again. The rest of that game, nobody even knows what happened.
I didn't watch any of the game myself.
I read about it a little bit to catch results. I didn't get a chance to see it.
But that was the play that was played over and over on the ESPN Sports Loop was... This ridiculous play, was it Leonard Fournette throwing the pass to Tom Brady, and Tom Brady fell down, and then because he fell down and the defender intercepted the pass, then Brady tripped him as he was laying on the ground.
You didn't see that? I didn't see it.
Oh, man, that was the only highlight of the whole game, really.
Yeah, I did not catch it.
I've just been hearing all about Tom Brady's divorce.
Oh, yeah, that's been the crazy headlines, yeah.
Well, now that you brought that up.
Oh, God.
Now that you brought that up. So right, isn't the public feud in the social media realm kind of the Tom Brady, the Antonio Brown situation? And so when Tom Brady actually had Antonio Brown come and live with him in his home, invited him in. And then
the Buccaneers
went on to win the Super Bowl, and everything was grand. And now Tom Brady, and he's being divorced, and Antonio Brown is suggesting that he was...
I know that was one of your talking points for today. His latest running afoul of the law troubles.
So, Antonio Brown has suggested that he and Giselle were having an affair while she was staying in Tom Brady's house. And who knows? He's got his own little podcast thing going on, and he's supported by Ye or
Kanye.
Yeah. So he's got a forum. But now there's an active arrest warrant for Antonio Brown
because of that plane deal.
No, that's Odell. That's Odell.
Odell Beckham.
Antonio Brown's got a domestic violence incident from like the 28th or 29th of November, just the other day. So there's an active warrant for him in Tampa, Florida.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, okay, so that makes me want to sign him. What do you think, Bill?
Or Odell Beckham, too.
Well, Odell Beckham, we talked about this. He was either... So, okay, we'll take the focus off of Antonio Brown and we'll put it on Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham is supposedly supposed to get on a plane either from L.A. to Miami or Miami to L.A., one or the other.
Right.
Because a team is interested in signing him. And then he throws this hissy fit on the airplane and won't put his seatbelt on and gets escorted off, right?
That's the way I read it.
Yeah, I want that guy on my team. That's what I want.
I don't think he's really healed. Didn't he have some type of knee surgery or something in the offseason?
ACL. That's why he's been out the whole season. He's sitting on the sidelines just dying to get back in there. But so you come off of an ACL repair. You're not going to be the same player. I don't care who you are.
Unless you just go through rigorous training just to... You could come back and be a player, but you have to really change things up and be a different role.
You'll never have the explosiveness that you had. Yeah.
I just think he thinks he can just basically walk into the playoffs or walk into the Super Bowl. And
that's a mindset of the athlete of today, Bill. That's the athlete of our modern era, is they think they can sit on the sideline. Well, it kind of goes into the load management. I mean, when you grew up and when you were playing ball up here at UND or any of the guys that your forefathers or the guys you followed, load management, that term did not exist. You played. You played the damn game, hurt or otherwise.
Load management, never heard of that one.
Well, that's what. So we're talking about an NBA, and that's where that term is basically more in the NBA, where load management. These guys are taking games off. So I'm a family of four, and I'm coming to a game, and I want to see LeBron James play, and I'm paying $1,000 for four tickets for me and my wife and my two kids. before I even have a hot dog.
Yeah, you hear stories about that all the time.
And you bought them in the summertime, too.
Yeah, and I get there, and he's taking the game off. He's not injured. He's not injured.
He's sitting there on the bench, right? Yeah,
he's taking the game off. And I'm supposed to respect that. That's
one of those things where I can see both sides of the coin, you know, where it's like, oh, you talk about load management and all that, where it's like, okay, you get it. You want to make sure to have a rotation going so the players don't get overworked, rest them up, and then risk overworking them and injuring them, especially if they're just coming off a game where they played like maximum minutes or something like that, or took some heavy fouls or something along those lines.
You sure don't hear about it in football or hockey.
Well, when you say that, Dale, one of my favorite players in the history of NBA basketball was Elvin Hayes. Elvin Hayes missed like 5 games in like a 18-year career. Okay? He played every game.
Oh, yeah.
Hurt or otherwise.
I'm not saying I'm for it, but I'm just saying I understand if the coaches...
these guys were being paid massive amounts to play basketball. Mm-hmm. And now you get to take every third, fourth game off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if it's that often, yeah. That's
it's about what it amounts to.
I was thinking like, okay, maybe 3 or 4 games a season if they're not injured, and okay, you know, if they play back to back games or something.
And then as you get to the last month of the season, they're hardly playing at all because they're resting for the playoffs. The players in the past that fought through every injury and played when they shouldn't have been playing, and they were on commercial flights without team physicians, wearing canvas Converse, yeah, versus these babies of today.
Keith has mentioned Cal Ripken in the chat, of course, the Iron Man of baseball. I guess the second coming of Iron Man of baseball following Lou Gehrig there.
He says such big words, Monty. I don't know what I said.
I think that was from earlier when you were talking about Antonio Brown there.
Oh, well, I'm just saying. There's been so much sports since we were last in here. Okay, I guess... I'm going to quit bitching about today's NBA players. And well, no, I can't.
It always comes back to the NBA.
No, because there's Supersonic Steve.
All right, there you go.
Hello.
Steve, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
All right, we got
Supersonic
you.
Steve, I'm just...
Hello
about,
there.
I'm just... Hey, it's good to hear. How was Turkey Day for you?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So I was just about to start ripping into LeBron James.
Oh, please do. How about it, man?
Well, have you seen what the latest thing with him is that they beat Portland last night?
Yeah, they had to go to Portland to get a win, right?
What? I'm not sure where it was at, but Damian Lillard didn't play. And so LA beats Portland last night, and at post-game interview, the sports writers are all done asking him questions, and then LeBron shoots back at the reporters. I'm surprised that nobody asked me about the Jerry Jones photo.
Man, I'm so glad you brought that up, because, you know, why does he got to stick his nose in the shit he doesn't know nothing about?
That's the boy, you hit the nail on the head. Exactly. Shit he knows nothing about.
But he knows Allen's a treasure, national treasure.
Yeah. Well, hey, Supersonic Steve and I, we had a conversation about Paul Allen, and I was telling him how disgusted I was that LeBron weighed in on that, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I saw that, and it's like, what? I'd really like to say something, but I'll keep it clean.
Yeah.
What the heck? Why did anybody even give a shit what he says?
Well, that's always been my point, Supersonic, is that LeBron, this is a bad... All those sports writers that were there last night were basketball beat writers. They weren't NFL beat writers.
Well, I mean, naturally.
Well, yeah. And so LeBron was comparing it to when Kyrie Irving was going through his bullshit that he's still kind of going through, and how LeBron was getting asked questions by the media about Kyrie Irving. Well, you played with the guy for 4 years. It's an NBA question. It has nothing to do with the National Football League. The National Football League reporters were asking questions of the National Football League teams of the Jerry Jones picture, but LeBron seems to think that We should be asking him about every national issue that comes up. I'm like, okay, LeBron, why are we in Ukraine? Please tell us, because you're the godsend, right?
Yeah, yeah, Mr. Know-it-all.
Yeah, with your high school education, driving a Hummer before you got off the campus of your high school. You know, I'd like to see his freaking grades from high school. I bet the guy can't even read.
He sure thinks he's some rocket scientist, though, when he comes well, some of his comments.
Yeah, well, supersonic. Do you remember seeing stories in the recent months where, like, LeBron was always coming out in front of the press with a book, but every last damn book he was on page one?
Yeah. And he cracked him?
Yeah, the book marker was always on page one. It was like he'd... And then they asked him, he was supposed to be reading a book about Malcolm X, and they asked him what he had learned from what he's reading, and he couldn't say anything coherent because he hadn't read the damn book. That's
well, he's got his glasses on to make him look smart.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the point. It's like it's such a phony thing. It's just a phony thing. Okay, I got to do this ad. Dale's over here chomping on me. So, Alberta Clipper, is this the right ad?
Yep.
Alberta Clipper snow removal. Are you looking to make some good extra money this winter? Christmas isn't that far away. Contact Alberta Clipper Snow Removal. Alberta Clipper is looking for equipment operators. For snow removal this winter, you can operate nice, warm equipment, and almost all their work is commercial and big parking lots, all in Grand Forks. Make good money moving snow without using a shovel. Pay will depend on experience. Call to find out how you can make easy extra money this winter. Alberta Clipper Snow Removal, 701-739-1380. That's 701-739-1380. Call now.
So there's not going to be any snow this year.
It's going to be a brown Christmas, they tell us. Yeah. So, Bill, you going to weigh in on LeBron James, or you just don't even like that topic?
Well, you guys kind of... beat him like a rug. So
well, we are, you know, we and I take, you know, I sometimes kind of pull back, but then I'm going like, well, we're Fork Sports Highway, but you know what, we're always going to be the anti LeBron show. Paul, do you agree with that?
Yep.
Yeah, here we go. Our producer agrees with that because
I do.
Well, the media has covered his butt like no other, you know, when I know, Steve, you revere the ancient NBA history like I do.
Oh yeah.
And when you think about, I don't care, the top 20 players in the history of the NBA, does he fall in that for you?
Nope.
I don't think so. I mean, I there are guys with lesser stats that I have way more, you know. How about a guy like Dave Bing? Dave Bing turned like 74 years old or something this week. You remember him?
Oh yeah, Detroit Piston guard.
Yeah, I mean, he was a patriarch of the game. Never talked about himself. His game demonstrated itself. He didn't need to talk about how smart he was or how great he was, And he's a guy that never won a championship.
Well, wasn't he the mayor of Detroit for a while there?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was.
And didn't we talk about there was some advertisement that had the 9 or 10 best players in the NBA right now?
Yeah, yeah.
And you probably can name all 10 of them. But.
Well, before you came on, Steve, Bill was bringing us up that the current NBA coaches and executives have – made a list of like the top 10 NBA players, and LeBron's not on the list, and neither is neither is Anthony Davis.
What do they call them? Street clothes?
Yeah, there you go. And I'm like, you know,
Sorry, go ahead.
No. Well, my, and I've beat this horse to a pulp, but Larry Bird played for the Boston Celtics. Michael Jordan played for the Chicago Bulls. Magic Johnson played for the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, and you could go on and on. Hakeem Olajuwon played for the Houston Rockets. David Robinson played for the San Antonio Spurs. Tim Duncan played for the San Antonio Spurs. who's LeBron James played for? Oh, yeah, Cleveland, Miami, back to Cleveland, out to L.A. And you know what? He would jump his ass back to Cleveland in a heartbeat if they'd take him.
Yeah, he's got to get the contract stuff to work out.
Well, no, they don't want his big-ass contract for the ball hog he is.
Yeah, I was going to say work it out as in scale it down.
And here's the thing is, like, LeBron was on the sidelines in the last couple of weeks. And the Lakers went on a little bit of a streak. They won like 5 out of 6 games.
Without him.
Wow.
And it was Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis actually had a little bit of chemistry going. And then now LeBron's back and the ball stops with him. Boom, 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 down to the bottom of the shot clock. And Steve, did you see the game against Indiana? The final,
yeah.
The 9 minutes to go in the game. They're up by 17 in L.A., right?
And they what?
Lose.
Yeah. Kid,
I know they lost.
Rookie for Indiana hits a three-pointer over LeBron's outstretched hand. Now, LeBron is the defensive assignment on this rookie. And instead, he drops into the lane to prevent the drive. Well, a drive ties the game. A three-pointer wins the game. And his 38-year-old ass drops into the paint, and then he can't get back outside because that kid's got such a fast flick. And they celebrated in Los Angeles, Indiana Pacers. And I'm like, this was his first game back. Now, last night, they beat Portland without Damian Lillard, which is basically beating Portland without a team. Well, it is. It's like
it's true,
and so I don't know. I think the Lakers stand at 7-12 right now, and there's a whole bunch of people out there that they're telling us how great LeBron is and how, you know,
they're in front of the Timberwolves, though, aren't they?
No. The Timberwolves are 11-11 in the playoff picture. Oh. Lakers are not in the playoff picture.
11-11 after last night. I guess I wanted to bring up on the Timberwolves. I don't know if you mentioned it while I was setting some stuff up back there a little bit, but had a big injury this week, unfortunately. Holy moly. They lost Karl Anthony Towns with right.
Yeah, he hasn't played for
them. He has a calf
strain, I believe. Strain, yeah.
And they're saying
4 to 6 weeks, right?
6 to 8.
Or 6 to 8 weeks, yeah.
So at a minimum of a month and a half. But
they're 5-2 in that time period, aren't they?
Well, their overall record is 11-11.
11-11. Yeah, yesterday was their first game without him.
Oh,
and
it was longer than that.
No, yeah, he went out on the game before their previous game on, I believe it was Monday against the Wizards. They lost that game. Towns went to the floor with a non-contact injury. He was running back to the court following a jumper that Kazuma made.
We're talking about a non-contact
injury. Yeah, he was just running and he just crumpled.
Steve.
Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Well, that's So what is it with these modern-day athletes and the non-contact injuries?
I see other players. I've been seeing this happen for a while. I mean, it's not that common, but you see it. And usually it's like, it could be like you were mentioning earlier, ACL, MCL. I saw that happen to old 49ers linebacker, or Pro Bowl linebacker, Julian Peterson. And you almost recognize him when it happens, the non-contact injury, the way they react.
One of the most egregious non-contact injuries was Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, yeah. During practice. And it was just hiking the ball and falling back, right, off a drill.
Nobody anywhere near him, and he just stepped. And they almost had to amputate his leg.
Yeah.
It was that bad. So,
really? Wow.
And they never thought he'd play again. But that's what my question is what is causing that? Because is it that we're like over babying these guys? Because the guys in the old days didn't have that issue.
If I was just to speculate, I'm just guessing it's their body wasn't prepared for their sudden movement or something like that, and they weren't able to properly brace for moving one way or another. Just complete random speculation. But
not eating enough beef?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree with the players. I mean, there's some players out there that are pretty outspoken in football about playing on a natural surface. And they figure that every team in the NFL should have the money to be able to have a grass field. Yeah.
Well, you know,
you can take them in and out, and
so like Chicago Soldier Field is like.
Well, they do have natural gas.
Yeah, but it's been disgusting. That field has been like in like terrible upkeep for years. So you either got to have natural grass with some money behind it,
right? But say the Vikings are playing in U.S. Bank Stadium and they're on turf.
Guys start blowing their legs out, and
right, exactly the same thing. I'm sure Teddy Bridgewater was on turf when that happened.
I suppose I would never. I didn't give it even thought. But you're Mr. Football over here.
I know. Well, there's been
in our buddy Cup.
Oh yeah,
Cooper Cup.
He's
one of the guys that is really strong.
I got it.
He did get injured. I mean, he's been out for about. Or he was going to be out for about 6 to 10 weeks.
Was a sideline pass though, where he was up in the air. Though,
I know, but he was talking about this before this happened.
Oh, yeah, well, no, I agree, but
I have a note on that because it was. Well, we would have covered it last week when we were out, but he had ankle surgery. And he's on injured reserve, and you know, Coach Sean McVay said that he's going to miss at least 4 games, but didn't rule him out for the rest of the season. It was a tightrope procedure, and usually has a recovery time of 5 to 6 weeks from a high ankle sprain against in the Rams' Week 10 loss to the Cardinals. So,
they're not in the playoff race anyway.
Yeah. Because I was just going to bring that up, Steve. So, has there ever been a Super Bowl champion with a shittier record at this point in the season?
Oh, gosh. Maybe the original Patriots, their first Super Bowl, because I think they just kind of snuck into the playoffs that year.
I don't know. But I mean, the Rams went from the cream of the crop to nothing.
Oh, you're talking about the following season.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I know.
Right now.
Yeah, the Patriots, after they won their first Super Bowl, they didn't even make the playoffs the second year. I think they finished like
Well, the Rams aren't going to make the playoffs either.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. Yeah, Rams are doing, oh, my goodness, yeah.
And
Green Bay might not make them either.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Bill brought it up. Supersonic Steve.
No football.
Aaron Rodgers, your favorite?
No.
Aaron.
Not even top 10.
So Aaron Rodgers has a broken thumb and a rib injury, and he says if the team clears him, he's going to start this weekend. Did you happen to see what's the backup guy's Love? Jordan Love?
Jordan Love.
Did you
see Utah? Utah, wasn't it?
Yeah, did you see him come in? He came in the game. He threw a touchdown pass to our NDSU guy, and then he marched him down for a field goal. So in the 3 or 4 drives he had, they scored 10 points. And from what I understand, Jordan Love has that Green Bay offense down, and he actually respects his coach. versus Mr. Rodgers, who's too busy doing commercials to really care about anybody. You know, Aaron Rodgers is basically LeBron James.
Would you agree with
those two guys out? Same thing.
Would you agree with Mr. John Biergard in the chat saying Aaron Rodgers is washed up?
Yeah, just like the other guy in L.A., washed up.
Yeah, I guess speaking of football, did you guys see the? Oh, sorry, Steve.
Well, go ahead.
They're both past their prime.
Yeah, they're both past their prime, but they don't want to give it up.
What, him and Brady?
Yeah.
No, Tom Brady's still on the top of the world. Quit that, Bill.
I thought you were talking about Aaron Rodgers.
No, we were. Bill had to throw Tom Brady in there too because
they're golf partners.
Yeah. But
I'm convinced that Tom Brady's going to have another 20-year-old model on his arm before we're done this season.
So you think they're going to sneak into the playoffs, the Bucks? I think they'll manage to sneak in enough wins into the expansion.
Well, they still lead the division.
Are they still leading the division?
With losing record.
What was it now, like 6-7 or 5-6 around there, right? Yeah. 5-6. Yeah, 5-6.
But still in first place. So,
oh, my gosh, that division.
They only need to get into playoffs. Who knows?
Heck yeah. I was going to bring up, you know, while we're on football, did you guys see the Vikings play on Thanksgiving night? That was a nice treat, huh? Thanksgiving night game. And it was a nice close game against the Bills. Kept it competitive.
Well, so
I'm sorry, Patriots, was, Patriots. Yeah, sorry.
No, that was the week before.
Yeah, week before. Oh my gosh, game. Yeah. That was a really good game too. Yeah, but this Patriots game was nice and close.
Because we had the Buffalo game and then we had the Dallas ass kicking.
That game didn't happen. That was a dream.
Dallas dominated every aspect of the game, and then the Vikings kind of bounced back and got their little win over.
They needed that humbling game though.
But. I know Supersonic Steve out there in your Seattle team has kind of faltered a little bit here lately.
Oh, boy. Couple of losses.
Raiders! Losing to Bill's help hapless Raiders. Hapless.
Yeah, and that running back they have, Henry, and he tore us up.
Yeah.
Well, 82-yard touchdown run to win the game.
But Seattle, for a little bit there, was looking like
a pretty good team.
The team that was going to run off with this thing, and now in the last couple of weeks they've kind of floated back to earth. And in the NFL, the one thing is that I was looking at is the Rams last year. Okay, the Rams were like left for dead about midseason, and they put this little run on, made the playoffs, and then they had this extraordinary game with the 49ers, and then they end up winning it all. Storybook season for who's the quarterback from Detroit?
Goff.
Jared Goff.
No.
The good one now?
The guy Stafford? That came. Stafford.
Stafford.
And now Stafford's dealing with like back-to-back concussions. So he's out of the picture. And the Rams have injuries. They have your Cooper Kupp. He's injured. And every damn buddy else on that team is injured. So they have like half a squad playing. And the Vikings are rolling along.
Justin Jefferson continues just to get crazy numbers each
week.
The
Vikings are rolling along at 9-2. And everybody's saying they're the worst 9-2 team that's ever existed. And it's like, how do they get these wins? And I'm like, I really don't give a shit how you get the win.
No, that's right.
You know, they got six games left. And three of them are on the road against the Detroit Lions, the Chicago Bears, and the Green Bay Packers.
Well, Keith says they don't have an easy game left this year.
Yeah.
Those three are all easy games.
I know. Detroit, they're the easiest in the league.
It's almost a running joke almost every year.
A terrible team in a terrible town with terrible fans.
One of them.
How do you learn how to count?
Yeah, Steve, how do you learn how to count in Detroit? 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, 0-4.
The year they didn't win a game. One of what, two or three teams that went 0-16.
They were the hard knocks team. They had this tough ass coach that was kicking everybody's ass, and they were going to come out and they were going to be this hard nosed team all year long. And
Dan Campbell or something is named.
Yeah. And they're like the same old bullshit in Detroit. Can't beat anybody.
Well, they did beat somebody.
Yeah, this past
on
week.
On Thanksgiving.
They've won a couple games in a row, but they're not good. Kirk Cousins can beat that team.
Yeah, Cousins, he had a good game. 299 yards, three touchdowns. Justin Jefferson, 139 yards and a touchdown. Oh, and an 11-yard pass in that game, too. And Vikes got Jets this Sunday at noon. One other interesting game I want to make sure to highlight, or two games. I'll give a quick shout out to just because of the historical stat. The 49ers, they shut out the Saints 13-0. And did you see this stat that was rolling around? It was the first team to shut out the Saints since 2001. And it was, it's the longest active scoring streak the Saints had going into a game at 332 games of at least scoring points.
So, Steve, he's talking about the Saints being a scoring team. We're talking about. A Drew Brees, whether it was Sean Payton or even Jim Mora type teams, but
Aaron Brooks.
Do you remember when the Saints fans used to have bags over their heads?
Oh boy, yeah.
Archie Manning,
and they called them the Aints. You remember that?
So.
In the late 1980s, because I was so disappointed by the Vikings so many, 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 many times, I decided to follow a second team. And I picked the one team in the whole NFL that had not won a playoff game, the Saints. Okay? So I started following the Saints about 1985, 86, 87. And then the Saints finally made the playoffs with Bobby Hebert and Reuben Mays and Eric Martin. I don't know if you know any of those names, but
Reuben. I do.
Yeah, Reuben Mays was the running back. Bobby Hebert was the quarterback. Eric Martin was the receiver.
And was Bum the coach?
No, Bum was already gone. I think Mora was there.
Oh, Mora?
Yeah.
Bum was more in Houston, wasn't he?
Well, he was in New Orleans for a little while, too. But anyway, they had this linebacker core, too, Swilling there was like four linebackers that were all pro on that team. Anyway, so what happens that year, 1987? The frickin' Vikings play the Saints in the playoffs.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. The Vikings go down. The Vikings go down to New Orleans and beat the Saints 44-10 in New Orleans. And then continue to disappoint me after that. Because they got beat by Washington. This is Washington Redskins. Can you see the play, Bill? I think it's Wade Wilson throwing the pass to Darren Nelson, and Darren Nelson drops the pass at the goal line.
No, I can't remember
at that. The end of the game. So yeah.
The Raiders must have been on.
Same. So the team I pick goes and ends up getting clobbered by my other team. And then my other team still pisses the bed.
No win.
Yeah.
Well, the Jets playing the Vikings this week.
Yeah, it was Sunday. Benched
their quarterback last week, didn't they?
The Jets did?
Yeah.
Well,
who's the Jets quarterback again? I'm blanking off.
White.
That guy from – he was from Brigham Young, wasn't he?
Steve, you said White was his name, Steve?
Well, no, White,
I
is,
think so.
White is the guy that's playing now.
Oh, playing now, okay.
He replaced the
– Oh, no, they benched him.
The other guy.
He didn't get hurt. He got benched.
Right.
But the other game I wanted to bring up of note from last week, and we kind of already talked about it adjacently a little bit. You know, we're talking about the Bucs having that losing record, losing the division, but against that Cleveland Browns game where they went to overtime, and the Bucs pretty much handed the game to the Browns where the Bucs had plenty of time to come back and win in overtime because no team scored on the opening drive. And the Browns made a 3-yard touchdown run with 19 seconds left in overtime by Nick Chubb. Yeah. And I also want to bring this up because there's two interesting facts about this game. I don't know if you heard this, kind of a Hall of Shame moment. Large circular rings were apparent on the turf in Cleveland's field because an intruder broke into the stadium earlier in the week and drove a vehicle on the turf. Did you hear about that?
No.
And there were still there were still tracks you could see visible
so
on the
sliding
field.
Sliding around.
Yeah. So the person just – and they never tracked down who did it. The guy drove into the stadium, middle of the night, drove around, ran amok, destroyed the field,
so
never caught the guy.
The question is where was – where were you, Steve?
I was sitting at home.
Are you sure? I know you're from an era that you probably would do something like that.
And then the last reason I brought this up was because Jacoby Brissett was filling in for the Browns for this whole first part of the season. This was his last game. Deshaun Watson returns this weekend.
Yes.
So I know we were talking about him a lot with his big suspension at the beginning of the season. Just wanted to get your guys' take on that.
Yeah, well, I was going to bring that up too.
Well, I think he sat out, 11 games?
11-game suspension, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, they were all masseuses. These weren't like violent rape-type cases. And I'm like, I don't know. If I got a masseuse over to my motel room and I'm paying her, and not that I'd ever do that. But no, I think that these the whole thing with him is he turned into a circus because apparently he had done that enough times and he had these girls over and it just slays me that a guy with that kind of money just wouldn't go down on the street and get a girl. I don't get it. I don't get it. No, I'm going to get somebody with like a massage degree and some credentials to come up to my room and then I'm going to piss her off. And
And I agree with John. John agrees in the chat too. He said the Bucks played awful. Yeah, it was a crazy game. Any other highlights from last week football? For at least NFL wise, anyways.
I
saw a couple overtime games. I don't. Yeah,
We have the Bills Patriots tonight.
Yep.
A lot of people are picking actually the Patriots over the Bills because the Bills have kind of been faltering a little bit, throwing some interceptions. And then Patrick Peterson in the Kyler Murray situation. What the hell, Bill?
I guess I'm not sure with that, but obviously there something was going on in Phoenix that they didn't get along for some reason. And for some reason now Patrick Peterson is the one that does all this talking down in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And I don't know. The other thing I thought was funny, too, was with the New England game and Mr. Thielen, did you see that confrontation at the end of the game?
Well, there's a history with Belichick and Thielen.
Right.
So, yeah. No, I didn't see it.
Well, apparently Thielen made a beeline for Belichick at the end of the game.
Oh, wow.
And basically he was going to say, you know, because this happened about 2-3 years ago, and he threw the ball to Belichick or something on the sidelines, and Belichick just, you know, blew him off completely. And the same thing happened on Sunday he was even on the radio the next day talking about it, saying that, well, he wanted to clear a little air with Belichick, and Belichick just does not care anything at all about Adam Thielen.
As far as he's concerned, Adam Thielen doesn't exist.
Right.
He's got 6 Super Bowl rings, you know. You're
well, I mean, you got to figure he's probably the best coach that there's ever had in the NFL.
No,
record wise.
And when Adam Thielen was on the sideline screaming at him back a few years ago, I was like, "What is that all about?" You're talking like at that point he was already the greatest coach. You know,
right?
I mean,
oh yeah,
it'd be like Adam Thielen screaming at Vince Lombardi.
Right.
Like,
or Bud Grant, Bud didn't win any, but
well,
you know,
well, still, yeah. Or Chuck Knoll, Chuck Knoll.
I think Adam Thielen should just be happy that
he has the career he's had. Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
Shut up and
a little white dude with a little speed.
No, I think it's more.
Shut up.
He's got good hands, is what.
Well,
he's
he does
got.
Too. Yeah, I know. Well, he Mankato State, Detroit Lakes kid. So yeah, we all love him, but. You know, we all loved Kurt Knopf, too.
Yeah, he was good.
Well, I know I am. So,
looks like we're halfway through the first quarter. Bills are up 3-0.
Ooh. Oh, that's another exciting Thursday night game.
That's at New England.
Okay, so my biggest story of the day was Gaylord Perry.
Oh, man.
Hold on. Before we go into that, we hit up our next ad here. It's a video ad here. So.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
We got one video plus a bonus video after that. So
there you go.
Bonus 2-for-1.
So I'll get out of the way and let producer Dale do his thing.
We like bonuses.
Oh, there we go.
Well, those guys are working fast.
I know. It's nuts.
Not anybody at GFBS works that fast. That looks like a hockey coach.
Oh, one second.
So, Bill, I guess before while we wait for Monty to return here, any quick highlights for the games for NFL games for next week here? I got the list in front of us. Which ones you're looking forward to especially? I know we talked about Vikings Jets a little bit. And we said Buffalo and New England are playing now. Yes. Are there any that are must-see on your radar?
Well,
or Steve, for you two, must-see NFL games for this weekend?
Who are the Seahawks playing?
You're Seattle or against the LA Rams?
Oh, yeah. Could be. I wonder if it's in Seattle.
No, it's in LA.
Okay.
4:05.
Yeah, Seahawks aren't playing that well right now. And neither are the Rams, so it could be a good one.
Yep, and then I know for me, looking forward to Jets and Vikings, and then if Dolphins and 49ers, that should be a good game, yeah, two highly contested teams.
I think Cincinnati and Kansas City could be a good game, too.
Yeah. So Monday Night Football is New Orleans and Tampa Bay.
Cincinnati, aren't they on a little win streak?
I think so. I think
weren't they like
four? We'd have to ask Matt for sure.
Well, no, they were like 4-4 or something like that, and then they kind of went on a little bit of a tear here and finally played themselves back into contention.
Well, Pittsburgh's not.
Isn't that one of that Burrows? Is that
Joe Burrow?
Yeah, Joe Burrows, and this week Jamar Chase is coming back.
Hmm.
So his top receiver, who he's been missing all this time, who actually opens up the whole offense. I think, Cincinnati's going to win that game. That's my prediction, anyway.
Green Bay and Chicago, that's kind of a rivalry game.
Chicago's going to win that game. Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the turf laying face down at the end of the game. Oh, wait, was that earlier this year?
This would be in Chicago this time.
All right, so Monty, I know you mentioned you got one of your big feature headline topic here about commemorating a certain player.
Yeah, my biggest thing today was Gaylord Perry.
He had a certain nickname.
Well, he was the master of the spitball,
yep.
But he's a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, 2-time Cy yep. Young Award winner, but
won over 300 games.
Yeah, 300. His record is 314-255, and he had 3,554 strikeouts. So in the realm of Major League Baseball, 300 wins and 3,000 strikeouts. Are those marks?
You're in.
Yeah, you're in. And he played on some shitty teams.
Oh, boy. Yeah, he played for the Mariners for a couple years.
Really?
Yeah, well, he did.
When I was a kid, he had a start to a season with the Cleveland Indians.
Yep.
He was 15-0. And that's wow. That's one of the years he won the Cy Young. I think he finished up at 24-15 was his record. And of course Cleveland didn't go anywhere.
How many games did he get suspended from?
None.
Oh, he None. Got caught.
No, he didn't.
He got caught with
Bill, you know, now you're pissing me off.
He had files that were
No, that was like, Joe Niekro. Niekro.
That was
Phil,
a foot long.
Phil Niekro and Joe Niekro. No. Gaylord Perry didn't use files. He used Vaseline.
Oh, okay.
And he used spit. He was the master of the spitball. His autobiography is entitled Me and the Spitter.
and he never got ejected from a game.
No, he hardly ever. He spent the large part of his career, the first 10 years or so, as a pitcher for the San Francisco Giants when Willie Mays was a center fielder. And
Willie McCovey.
And McCovey was at first base, and Bobby Bonds came in there later on. But that was a great San Francisco team. And Gaylord Perry, there's interviews of him, and he talks about how he didn't want to let those guys down. That he was afraid he was not going to be good enough to be pitching in front of those guys. So,
and did his brother play for the Twins?
Jim Perry and Gaylord Perry are like the winningest duo of brothers that ever existed in baseball history, other than Daffy and Dizzy Dean.
I didn't know Daffy. I knew Dizzy.
Yeah, but we're talking, if you go all the way back to the late 30s and 40s to find two brothers that were pitching like that. And so these two guys, Gaylord Perry, you know, one of the stories was that he didn't necessarily doctor the balls, but he wanted the hitters to think he did. And so he said there was a interview with him, and what the hell did he say it was? It was some kind of elm bark that he used to make his saliva glands kick up more spit. But then in like 1968 or so, Major League Baseball made it where you couldn't go to your mouth before you came to the ball and threw the ball. And that's when he came up with the Vaseline.
I always remember Major League in the first Major League movie where they talk about the veteran pitcher talking about all the tricks he has to do to get a couple extra miles per hour on his fastball, because they're like, oh, what's this you got on your chest? I think Vaseline was one of the many substances.
Well, and Gaylord Perry came from an era where they had the old 50s hairdos, so he always had the grease in his hair.
Brill cream.
The grease under his bill of his cap up here. The grease in his chest, and whether he used it or not, before he went to the pitch, 1972, he was a Cy Young winner. Like I said, he won 15 straight games with the Cleveland Indians, and that in itself should put you in the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, shit.
No, but he would, every time he took the mound, he would touch all these parts of his body, so the hitters are standing up there. Whether he's throwing a spitball or a Vaseline ball or anything, they are afraid of what he's throwing. And Gaylord Perry was not like, he wasn't A-Rod or Barry Bonds or LeBron James, this chiseled body. He had this little beer gut, and he was this old dude that you would think was your uncle.
He's like a modern day, well, I guess gosh, what was that guy's name? Big Sexy was his nickname for the Mets recently. And the Twins had him for a year, too. Gosh, the guy who had one of the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about. Bartolo
Colon.
Yeah, Bartolo Colon. Big Sexy.
With the big belly and all
that.
He was
an all-star wrestler, Big Sexy.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Nash. Yeah, Big Sexy.
The point is that... So Gaylord Perry passed away this morning at the age of 84. And I'm like, For those of us that actually got to see him play and do his thing and follow his career, I mean, we're not going to get to see that again.
I saw you mentioned all this stuff about getting in trouble later on for applying substances in baseball. So I just did a quick little looked him up here. Said he didn't get ejected for it until 1982, late in the 1982 season. He got away for it until his penultimate year in the majors. I see on here he played until 1983.
Yeah, yeah.
Supersonic Steve, I saw you had two seasons with your Mariners here.
Did?
Yeah, 82 into 83. I guess he got traded mid-season with the Royals his last year in 83 there.
Won his 300th game here.
I don't think in today's game, they change that ball. If it touches the ground, if it does anything, you just see the catcher giving it back to the umpire and throwing in a new ball.
Well, after how many
dozen balls do they go through in a game?
Yeah, but at the end of every inning, the first base ump examines the pitcher's hand. Right, Steve?
Yes, they do.
It's ridiculous.
I don't like it one bit.
I'm like, because what if we already had an instance where there was an umpire that had a hard-on for a pitcher, and he held his hand and wouldn't let it go, even when there was no subs. Wow. You remember seeing that?
Yes, I did.
And I don't remember who the pitcher was, but this umpire, and then he ejected him because he smiled at him.
They'll do anything, you know, just for the slightest emotion or whatever, yeah, they'll eject anyone. I see on here he won the Cy Young at age 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oldest player to win the Cy Young.
Two Cy Young awards.
Yeah. I guess that record stood for 26 years. And I guess it said he distinguished for his brother being a good pitcher, too. The second winningest brother combination with Jim Perry there.
So who was the first winning?
The Necro brothers.
Yeah, there you go. Bill so and Joe. So Bill, you brought it up. So we have Gaylord Perry and Jim Perry, two of the oldest longevity type pitchers. They pitched and pitched and pitched and pitched probably 220-year careers. And then you have Joe and Phil Necro, knuckleballers. And they both pitched for like 20 years. And, of course, what we remember up here in Twins land, you got your Twins hat on, and you brought it up. What did Joe Necro do?
He was the guy with the file, wasn't he?
Yeah. So
he had like nail clippers or something in his pocket.
Do you remember this, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the opposing team was bitching and moaning about him doctoring the ball, and the umpires came out to the mound to investigate. And Joe Necro pulls his pockets inside out, and then he takes his hands and he throws this file.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't get away with that nowadays.
No, but
I saw that clip. It's classic. It's iconic.
No, and those guys were the knuckleball guy. You know, that was Joe Necro as a Minnesota Twin.
Looked as pathetic as someone trying to play a sleight of hand with some substances. With the cop examining him, trying to play sleight of hand. No, I don't got anything on me. Tosses it to the side.
Yeah, but then what was cool about that was Joe Necro went on the David Letterman show and kind of reenacted that while he was sitting there as a guest.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
And I'm like, yeah. They
should have brought a medical detector out there.
That's the point, though, is that the Perry brothers or the Necro brothers are really bigger than baseball. Just like Pete Rose is.
Transcends the sport.
No, they do. And baseball can try to contain those guys all they want, but they're bigger than baseball. Because the myth of these guys will live way beyond the Hall of Fame of baseball or any of that bullshit. And I'm like, you know, in the end, Pete Rose will get the last laugh. He'll be a dead guy, but everybody will still love him because he was a gambling motherfucker.
Well, I love him for his awesome. Oh. Yeah, Monty, you got to contribute to the swear piggy bank.
Which one of you did that? Was that you?
That was not me. But I don't have those words in my vocabulary.
Well, I followed the Big Red Machine as a kid really intensely, and I'm like, you know, Pete Rose is one of like less than 20 players that have won championships with two different teams, and we talked about this.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he is in the WWE Hall of Fame for being iconic, for getting tombstoned by Kane for like three or four WrestleManias in a row. I'll give him a shout out for that.
If you have more hits than Ty Cobb, and I have all these buddies of mine that they hate Ty Cobb because they claim Ty Cobb was a racist. When we were talking about this stuff earlier about Jerry Jones and stuff, and they're like, no. Ty Cobb has more of a history of.
Oh yeah, I remember hearing his what's been documented for Ty Cobb. And of course, there's that Tommy Lee Jones movie that goes into that too. But actually, I had a note for last week. I took it off for this week, but I guess he had a big, for those that follow a memorabilia auction scene, he had a big autographed bat that just went for, I believe, just over $1 million.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but regardless of Ty Cobb's beliefs or attitude, he was still one of the toughest baseball players that ever lived. Kind of guy that would knock you on your ass. And Pete Rose was like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, you know.
Didn't he take out somebody at?
Ray Fosse. So Steve, you remember Ray Fosse?
Oh, yeah, catcher. Yeah.
Oakland
A's. It was an All-Star game, wasn't it?
Yeah, 1973 All-Star game, I think. And yeah. And Pete Rose just barreled over him, took him out. Of course, these days, Ray Fosse might have been penalized for blocking the plate. In our little punk world we live in now,
that was more contact than they have in the NFL All-Star game.
Yeah, your NFL All-Star game. Yeah,
two-hand touch.
But I'm like, well. We live in the participation ribbon era.
Yep.
And it's,
you know, Rick Fosse never was the same after that either.
Yeah, I don't no, think
but
so
but
either.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
He was Boston, wasn't he? Or?
No, Oakland A's.
Oh, A's.
A's won three World Series in a row, 72, 73, 74, and that was like 72 World Series, but that was like the 73 All-Star game.
Right.
But 72, Oakland beat the Reds in the World Series, and I suppose that was Pete Rose's fodder or his inspiration.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, those teams in well, my favorite era of sports, I don't give a shit where we're at, whether it's baseball, basketball, the 1970s through the early 1980s. And lots of people like to talk down to me about that because they think that those athletes of those days would never be those kind of athletes today. And I'm like, are you kidding me? The toughness, just the toughness.
I did have while we're on the topic of baseball real quick, I said, since Bill's rocking the Twins hat, I had originally for last week, but I thought it was worth mentioning real quick, a couple of big moves for the Twins over the last week for the roster.
Korea?
A couple of moves. They traded for shortstop Kyle Farmer from Cincinnati Reds in a trade that sent minor league right-hander Casey Lugamina to the Reds, and they traded away. This is a surprise move because everyone thought he had a big improvement last season. Gio Urshela to the Angels.
Yeah.
Because everyone thought he was on the upswing.
A terrible move for the Twins.
Yeah, I disagree with that move. They traded for pitching prospect Alejandro Hidalgo in a 1-for-1 swap, and they brought back reliever Emilio Pagan.
Oh, my God. Pagan.
I did not like him Pagan. Last season.
Well, Pagan. Pagan took the brunt of the whole Minnesota season.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a terrible pitcher, but they asked way too much of him. They were trying to make him into Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
And he was nothing close to that.
He definitely had a few times where he filled in relief and just things fell apart from him.
Well, they would have leads going into the ninth inning, and then he would just collapse.
Yep. And then the last thing I had, you might saw me queued up there a little bit ago. I wanted to make sure to get this. Did you guys see the new Twins uniforms that are going to be debuting next season? I got a picture of them here. I'll throw it up.
Yeah, but the changes are so subtle.
Are they rainbow colors?
Do they have a new hat with an M or something on
it,
too?
Yep, that's one.
With a star?
You're not going to be impressed, Steve.
It kind of looks like the Marlins M, doesn't it?
There you go. Yeah. So there you go. You can see that new hat there.
The new look.
Yeah, new look.
You see it, Steve? You have this pulled up?
Rainbows.
I like the old one.
It's sad. It's just like the amount of money they put into like somebody researching this and put this together was like fodder. They lost it.
I don't think you're going to see Korea come back.
One of the things that's of note with the Minnesota Twins, though, is that Carl Pohlad's son has relinquished control of the team to his son.
Is this per Common? Did Common tell you this?
Well, I think PA did.
Oh, okay.
Bill, so Steve, do you know that out here in wasteland North Dakota, we listen
fly
to...
Flyover country.
We listen to, like, Twin Cities Broadcasting.
Yeah, I bet, yeah.
Minneapolis, yeah. That's our biggest. Next to Winnipeg, we're like stuck between Winnipeg and Minneapolis, St. Paul.
I don't like that one announcer you guys got out there. I think he's a
Paul Allen, the guy I was bitching about.
He's a national treasure.
No, he's a piece of shit. Is what he
That's what LeBron said.
Yeah, and then LeBron was bitching about because they didn't ask him about Jerry Jones. Really. Same dude. But no,
I got this next one here, mine.
Put it on you. You got it.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, we're just going to give a quick shout-out to our friends at the River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill, where we want to encourage everyone to make your next dinner and a movie destination at the River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. They're located inside the River Mall in East Grand Forks. And you could either dine inside the movie memorabilia-laden restaurant, The Shire, or take your meal to go inside the movie you'll be attending. Pretty nice deal they got going on there. So instead of just, you don't want to do traditional popcorn or nachos, get an awesome full-course meal, bring in the movie you'll be going to. And this week's featured attractions at the River Cinema are Bones and All, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Violent Night, and Spirited. And you can find the latest showtimes on their website at rivercinema15.com, along with a complete list of movies playing. Don't forget about their specials. It's Tuesday, $5 movies all day long, and $5.50 senior matinee special on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And the River Cinema 15, they have multiple theaters with luxury recliners, expanded concessions that now serve adult beverages, and it's family-owned and operated that also own and operate the Grand Theater in Crookston. So you can find all their showtimes on morefamilytheaters.com for the Grand Theater and River Cinema as well. So, yeah.
Nice date night.
Yeah, date night. Date night, dinner, and a movie, yo.
Well, everybody loves movies over there. Mm-hmm. They really do. And the Moore family?
Yep.
And the patriarch of that family passed away like last year.
Yeah. They did a nice big write-up about it. Yeah, no, they got it framed
over
there.
I knew him, and he was a really nice guy. He was like, he used to give me free tickets to his movies and stuff like that, and he didn't know me from Adam. Crossed paths with him. But no, the Moore family, what they've done with that facility.
Yeah, it's a bang-up theater. Love it.
It kills this other one over here. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking with the AMC.
Yep.
And he stuck a lot of his life into this place over here in East Grand, and that's how East Grand Forks is. Though they cherish their businesses, they really do.
Yeah, it's an awesome theater. You know, especially if you're a movie buff, they got all kinds of movie posters from over the eras. So, yeah, you just extremely geek out over there.
And they're inclined to not let the big conglomerates come in and take over.
Good for them.
Yeah, no. It's when we cross the river here in Grand Forks to East Grand Forks, it's a whole different dynamic. Those people over there love their little town of, 9,000, whatever it is, 10,000, something like that. And over here in Grand Forks, we're this bigger city.
We got that John Roberts guy over there, right?
Yeah, he's over there. That's right. Mr. Hockey.
I know we're down to about our last 10 minutes or so here. There's some other major points you wanted to hit last here. Maybe, I know UND had their unfortunate postseason for football.
Man, you know, the 38-31 loss to Weber State in the playoffs. I don't know if you saw this, Supersonic Steve, but University of North Dakota has been playing second fiddle to the North Dakota State University for a few years right now.
The Agricultural College.
The Ag School, as Bill calls them. But, God, they've won like 8 national championships in 9 years or 10 years or whatever the hell it is. But
it's what happens when you cheat.
Well, Bill beat him when he played. And I saw him lose a time or two to UND, but they, the whole Division I move, the Division I AA move, has been like almost a nightmare here in Grand Forks, because we were 5 years later. You know, NDSU jumped up, and
we have a hockey team that we have to worry about.
Well, there you go.
The rest of the sports.
Supersonic Steve, have you ever heard of University of North Dakota hockey?
Oh, yes. Yes, I have.
Do they get any donations from any
programs?
Well, so Grand Forks is a hockey school.
Right.
With a pretty decent football team. And
Who pays the freight? The hockey?
The hockey does, yeah.
Okay.
But NDSU is a football program, and they tried to be a hockey program. And they shit the bed. They thought they were going to put a hockey program together that could compete, and they ended up with a club program. So right now, we're at a point in time where we still have this great hockey team, but our football team is in the playoffs.
And so they're coming back.
Well, we're on par. We're right there. Oh, yeah. We're right there.
Okay. And, we took third in the conference and won and qualified for the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, so University of North Dakota doesn't have the football budget that the Fargo Bison have, but the Bison have no hockey team whatsoever because they can't compete. And so when we sit up here as the what would we call our
flagship
team, the flagship university. There you go,
of the
Steve. There you go, the flagship university.
I got it.
Versus the ag school down the road,
land grant,
the JV team, JV team.
So
not necessary.
But it's always been. If you want to own the farm, you go to UND. If you want to be a farmer, how's it go?
A farmer or a pharmacist or a football player.
Yeah, well,
that's the three F's.
Do you want to work on the farm?
What was the first one?
No, do you want to own the farm or work on the farm?
Okay.
And I said, do you want to be either a pharmacist?
Yeah, yeah.
Pharmacy.
So University of North Dakota, we have a law school and we have a medical school, and down south 75 miles, they have a pharmacy school. So there you go. Mm-hmm. You can work in the drugstore or you can be a lawyer or a doctor. Take your pick.
I know I kind of got here. I know it was kind of old news, but what we would have covered last week when we were off. But some of the MLB end of the year awards, MVPs. I'll give a quick shout out here.
There you go.
AL MVP went to the home run leader, Aaron Judge. And National League went to the batting average leader, Paul Goldschmidt of the Cardinals. So then Rookie of the Year.
Wasn't he with the Diamondbacks before? Was he with the Diamondbacks?
Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you. But I know last season he was with.
Isn't Judge with San Francisco now?
Shut up.
Yeah, money. Latest trade rumors for Aaron Judge.
Well, I heard he was going there.
Then Steve, you'll like Julio Rodriguez got AL Rookie of the Year.
He deserved it. He deserved it.
I saw he led all rookies in homers with 28 and total bases 260. Then Michael Harris, the second of Atlanta Braves, won NL Rookie of the Year.
Right on. Good for him.
Where's Jack Sikma?
Seattle.
Where is he? He's in Seattle.
No.
Yeah.
I was out running around the country a couple of years ago, and I was in the Seattle area, and I got into a cab, maybe an Uber, and it was an Arab dude that was driving the cab, and he'd only been in the country for like 5 years. And I asked him about what he knew about Seattle basketball, and he said, Jack Sikma.
Yeah, old Jack. He was assistant coach for the Sonics for a bit.
Yeah.
No, and I think he might have been assistant at Portland, too, for a bit.
But no, he was a great player for Seattle and a Seattle icon.
Yep. You know where he went to college?
Illinois Wesleyan.
Yep, you're right. I'm surprised.
Wow. See?
I gotcha.
Only a bunch of retards would know that. Now I gotta put more money in the jug.
I think so.
I can't use that word.
We're gonna have to start putting this on a delay.
Your wife will get you after me on that one.
But I'm serious. No, only a geek like me would know that.
And me.
Last note I wanted to give a shout out for was UND hockey last weekend.
Oh, they sucked.
Yeah, well, they tied Bemidji State on Friday night, 3-3. But they did beat them on Saturday night, 4-2, and they almost blew that second game. They got Bemidji scored twice within a minute in the third period, but they managed to hold them off there.
The road in St. Cloud this week.
Oh, my God. St. Cloud's like 3 in the country, and UND is like out of the picture right now.
23.
Yeah, ranked 23, and we're not used to that up here. Yeah. We're
6-6-3 is the record right now. Oof. So
yeah, John, I think Monty needs to put 20 in the jar.
Yeah, $20 in the jar. Oh, you love it. Love it, John. And then, I guess, finally, UND men's hoops. They're actually doing better than they are last year. Usually last year they were awful.
Yeah, well, I think they only won one game.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Oh, not that. It was single-digit wins, but yeah. not a lot. They're 5-4 right now. They lost to Iowa State yesterday, but they next play Portland on Saturday night. Women's hoops, they are doing pretty decent. They beat Manhattan College 65-59 Saturday. I'm going to go to their game tomorrow night against Wisconsin Superior. So there you go.
I was going to say, Monty, he doesn't have to put 20 in the jar. He can just put 20 towards that.
Yeah. Oh, then, yeah.
Well, I get a gun?
Oh, God.
So I can, I can put 20 toward a gun raffle. Yeah. Well, I should swear or say that word more often.
Yeah, why don't you give a quick plug there? I can give a plug here. Yeah.
Put it on the TV so they can see it.
Yeah. Or,
well, Grand Forks Youth Hockey Gun Raffle Shields, only in North Dakota. So drawing held 4 p.m. on December 17th at Icon Sports Center, 1060 47th Avenue South, Grand Forks, North Dakota. Need not be present to win. We got to like that. Firearms prizes must be picked up in 30 days at the Grand Forks Shields store. In-stock calibers only. Firearms subject to availability. All unclaimed firearms prizes will be returned back to Grand Forks Youth Hockey. Must be at least 18 years of age to win. Must pass background check to obtain firearm. Everybody in Grand Forks, North Dakota, passes a background check. We're not criminals. Never happens. Purchase is a non-charitable donation. Winner is responsible for payment of sales tax, choice of Shields gift card for purchase price firearm if prize is not desired.
There's a ton
of... How could you not want the gun?
Well, they got a ton of gift cards they're giving away, and like a ton of guns are available in the raffle too. So,
This is John's ticket here.
Oh yeah, yeah. Don't want to lose that one.
I'm putting this in my pocket. Oh. I'm claiming I'm John.
Is that John or Paul?
I think John got a couple. Yeah,
No gun raffles up here in North Midwest. That's what we do. How about there out there in Washington? You got some gun raffles there, Steve?
You got it. Are you kidding me?
And I guess John in the chat, John.
Probably not. Huh?
John Beauregard, he wants you to start a petition for the UND goalie. He said he had a chat with you about putting the Grand Forks goalie in there.
Caleb Johnson. Caleb Johnson, Caleb Johnson, Caleb Johnson. You're 6'6 and what?
I thought that was the quarterback that went to USC, Caleb Johnson.
No, they're Caleb Johnson's Grand Forks Central. He goalied that team to two state championships, and he is the perfect kid. He is the most polite kid on the planet. He will say yes, sir, no, sir, every time you talk to him, and he will work his butt off. And he's playing behind a couple of upperclassmen that are, at best, discouraging. Their performances are discouraging. I would throw that kid in there and give him a chance, because in hockey – your goalie's the whole thing, you know.
Can we name those four teams in the college football playoffs that we're thinking are going to be there?
You tell me, Bill. You tell me those four. So they've already brushed off your West Coast teams, Steve. You know that.
You think
right?
USC has a shot in there?
Well, no, they are in the top four.
Well, Bill's the football guy. Here you go.
And you got.
I think USC might be in there.
Yeah, USC. Michigan. You got Georgia's supposed to be the top one. You've got Michigan, and you've got TCU. Now, I don't think TCU is good enough to play with those teams, but it should be interesting. I think that might be this weekend that they name the teams. And supposedly
TCU,
they're going to.
I didn't know they were that good.
Oh, yeah. TCU's won some big games. I think they're 12-0 right now.
Is Michigan one of the teams?
Yeah, Michigan beat Ohio State. So
yeah, but everybody says
pretty good too.
Everybody on the planet says Michigan and Ohio State are bullshit.
Well, I don't know. I think Michigan looked pretty good that day, and
they sure did.
And I think they said they're playing Purdue in the championship.
Yeah. Michigan and Purdue.
Yeah.
So the East and West.
I guess that's the way that it worked out.
So, are the Gophers ever going to be in there?
I don't know. They lost some games that they shouldn't have lost.
But they got the axe from Wisconsin. Well, so if you're the coach for Minnesota,
but they didn't get the pig from Iowa.
Yeah, but as long as you get that axe from Wisconsin, you can stay the coach in Minnesota. Well, probably. What I heard.
Did they hire that coach?
Who?
The one that was all pretty in his sweater and stuff.
Yeah, that's the guy they got from Western Michigan.
What, Fleck?
Yeah, PJ Fleck.
Row the boat guy? Row the boat?
But
is that him?
Nebraska is the one that just hired a new coach.
Oh, Freeze?
No. He went to Auburn. The guy that's going to Nebraska was fired by the Carolina Panthers. Matt Rhule, I think his name is. And the guy that was interim coach just got picked up on some domestic charges.
I do got one last update here on the Bills-Patriots game. Bills are up 10-7, a little over halfway through the second quarter. So, any other final notes before we wrap up here?
Well, I'm going to throw this at you. So we have our Fork Sports Highway. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's Fork Sports Highway. Catch us live every Thursday at 6:30 right here on Grand Forks. Best source, live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch, and every other social media. If you missed us live, find our archives by searching GFBS on your favorite podcast, streaming, or social media apps. We're everywhere. Support GFBS by leaving us a 5-star review on Google or checking out the donate link on the top of www.gfbestsource.com website. That's all for today. We'll see you next week. State of the art studio. And next week, we're going to premiere our little girl.
What's her name?
Gracie Gold.
All right.
That's what I call her.
I just want to let you guys know you're all 5-star in my book.
Oh, you're one of our pals, too, out there. Take care. Run that all Pacific right. Northwest. Turn those idiots around.
Will do. Good luck with that.
I know.
I'm trying. I'm trying. I know. All right. You take care, guys.
We'll see you next week.